Well, I've entitled the sermon this morning, Don't Look Back. Actually, I meant to entitle it, which was up in my notes, Don't Look Behind You. But by the time we'd made everything out, I just realized that I called it the wrong thing. So, Don't Look Back or Don't Look Behind You. And we're going to be going through Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. Now, I grew up in the 70s and the 80s, and they came out with something I still hate. How many of you remember the slasher movies? Oh, yeah. Friday the 13th, Halloween, The Fog. I mean, oh. And my friend loved them. And he would drag me to every one of them. Oh, now, as a little kid, I was really easy to scare. And, well, I don't like to scare anybody now, well, except for my wife. But, there's one thing, I hate being scared. You know, it was always those things in the movie there. You know, you would see Jason Voorhees with that big old 7-foot-long butcher knife, standing behind them. And, all of a sudden it's like, as soon as they turn around, you knew what was going to happen. You know, every horror movie every slasher movie like that in the 70s and 80s. And it was just terrible. And, I came to the idea that it's like, if you don't turn around, nothing's going to happen to you. You know, you just stay looking forward there. That's kind of what we're going to talk about today in the sermon. It's a don't turn around. Don't look behind you. All right. As I try one more time. There we go. All right. Quick review for us this morning. For those of you who weren't here last Sunday. So Galatians 3:24 through 29. Let me read this to you. So then the law was our guardian until Christ came in order that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring and heirs according to the promise. Now, real quick, the law came to, basically to confine us, to put us on the right path until Jesus came. So that was the purpose. We talked about the law kind of like, the first stage of a rocket. The first stage of the rocket is essential to get the rocket up, and then it falls off. It's not useless, but it's no longer needed. What is important now is faith. Remember, this whole thing is, Paul's been talking about that, Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. So faith was given even before the law. Faith supersedes the law. And, faith is what leads us to Jesus Christ. We talked about it last week, baptized into one body. And, yes, there's a physical baptism. Which, if you've been saved, you need to be baptized. If you haven't been baptized, please talk to me. You need to follow the obedience of the Lord. But something that even happens, it is by faith that the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. So, that's another important thing. And there is no difference, because remember, this whole dinner table conversation we had where Peter was, stopped fellowshipping with the Gentiles. Excuse me. Peter had stopped, and Paul calls him out there. And so there is no difference whether there were Jewish Christians or Gentile Christians, whether there are Spanish Christians or Anglo Christians, whether there's male Christians or female. There is no difference. We all eat at the same table. And because of our faith, and because there is no difference, we are all heirs of the promise of Abraham. Now, remember, the physical descendants, they received, the two things that they were looking for land and looking for a worldwide family is what Abraham was promised. Now, the land of Israel belongs to the Israelites. We will inherit land, but it's called the New Jerusalem. It will be during the millennial reign. We've talked about this, the 1,000-year reign of Christ. We will rule and reign with him. So, yes, we'll receive land too. There's similarities. All right, now that we got this part, the review out of the way, I'm going to ask that you would stand for the reading of God's Word.
I mean that the heir, as long as he is a child, is no different than a slave, though he is the owner of everything, but he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father. In the same way, we also, when we were children, were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world, but when the fullness of time came, God had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, then an heir through God. Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. We ask that you would add your blessing to it. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Now, one of the things that a lot of people don't realize when they're looking at this, there's an Exodus story in this phrase, in this passage of scripture there. Many times when you're looking throughout the Bible, there is definitely, we see it from the life of Jesus, there's an Exodus story. From the Exodus story, there's an Exodus story. From the garden to the choosing of Abraham, there's an Exodus story. It is a repeated theme that goes throughout the Bible in many different ways. And this portion of scripture is no different. Let me read you just a quick synopsis of what the Exodus story is. God called Moses to lead Israel out of slavery in Egypt into freedom, to inherit the promised land. After a long period of waiting, already predicted in Genesis 15, the time of fulfillment came. God sent Moses to redeem his people, that is, to purchase them from purchase their freedom from slavery. This also was to demonstrate that Moses, as Moses said to Pharaoh, Israel is my son, my firstborn. Freedom was secured through the Passover with the sacrifice of the lamb and the slaying of Egypt's firstborn. Then the people had left Egypt. They came to Sinai. 40 days later, after the Passover, they were given the land as their guide through the wilderness to their inheritance. All right, there's our thumbnail of the Exodus story. Now, think back about what we just read. If you want to check your notes or look back in your Bible there, we are children. Just like the children of Israel. Children of Israel were enslaved. Guess what? You and I were enslaved also. We were in bondage to our sin. Egypt is a type of sin. Now, remember, Paul said that 440 years after the giving of the promise that Israel would come out of slavery. And what does Paul tell us there? In the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to be born under a woman, to be born under the law, to redeem us. And then we see God sent. Just like God called Moses and sent him to Pharaoh, God sent his son into the world that the world through him might be saved. Jesus was law abiding. He kept the law. He kept the law that had been handed down to Moses. He kept it in everything that he did, in thought, in deed, in action. He did it perfectly. And then he was sacrificed. Just like that lamb on the Passover evening was perfect, was flawless, without any defect. It was sacrificed and the blood was applied to the post of the house and the death angel passed over. Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, arms stretched out, very much like the doorpost. The blood flows down. The lamb is sacrificed. Your sins were paid for. And then think about that. He's buried, and 40 days later, resurrected on that, but 40 days later came the Spirit. Just like For 40 days as the children of Israel traveled to Mount Sinai. When we take a look at this, this is the Exodus story for Christians. Think about that. You have been bought. You are now a son or a daughter, if you prefer. And your life, you have been ransomed. All right. So, Jesus is sent. Jesus is sent by the Father to redeem those who were under the law so that they might receive adoption as sons. Amen. Adoption, or to redeem, excuse me, redeemed. Redeemed means to buy back. That's talking about slavery in this context. We were sold into sin. Jesus buys us back. We have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. To redeem those under the law. Man, that's one thing, you know, if you take a look at that, that doesn't kind of jive up, because we were outside the law. We're Gentiles. You know, remember, Paul is writing to a largely Gentile church, but there are some Jews. Just like in Romans, whenever we want to interpret that, we have to realize that it was written to a largely Jewish church with a couple of Gentiles. So what Paul is doing here is quite often he kind of mixes in there so that it kind of hits the Jews where they live and also hits the Galatians, the Gentiles, where they live. You were under the law. Remember, we've talked about in the weeks before where, you know, the law had blessings and had curses. And if you didn't keep the law, the whole law, then the curses were upon you. So notice, we were redeemed who were under the law. We have been redeemed from the law so that we might be adopted to receive a full inheritance. Now remember, the idea was that the Jews had separated themselves from the Galatians, from the Gentile believers, especially around the idea of table. Oh, can't eat with the Gentiles. Oh, no, not kosher. Can't do that. And so what we see here is Paul is telling them, you know, it doesn't matter how you got to the table. If you came to the table from a Jewish background where you kept the law, where you sacrificed, you did things, but now you come to faith in Jesus Christ. Or whether you were a heathen, a pagan, and you had wild pagan practices, and you heard the message of salvation and you received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're both brought to the same table. You just got there in different ways. We have all been adopted into the family. We are all heirs of Abraham's promise. Now, here's another sending. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Notice, God sends this. What Paul is doing here, he's giving some theology lessons here. He talked about the sending of the Son by the Father. Now he's talking about the sending of the Spirit, which he calls the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He's basically, in just two verses, given quite a detailed description of what the Trinity is. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, the Spirit has come. The Spirit makes intercession for us. And something kind of, it's one of the ones, the commentators couldn't agree on this one, because some of them looked at it from the Jewish standpoint and some of them looked at it from the Gentile standpoint. And remember, it is a mixed congregation, but it is mostly Gentile. So you have full rights as a son. The Spirit goes forth. And if you read in the Septuagint and talking about the crying, this actually refers to pouring out your heart to the Lord, addressing God. And so, if we look at it in that sense, you know, the Spirit causes us to cry out to God, or the Spirit cries out to God for us, Daddy. That's what Abba means. It's a familiar term of Father. Now, if you look at it from a Greek standpoint or from the Gentile standpoint, crying in this word in the Koine Greek basically means a legal proclamation, which also fits in it. The Holy Spirit has legally declared that you are a child of God. Wow, either one of those works, doesn't it? And you know what? It's probably even the same as this letter was being read. The Jewish Christians heard it one way. Okay. The Gentile Christians, because of their background, they heard it another way. But you know, it both gets them to the same point that they, the church, there's not a division. There's not the second class church. There's not those who, you know, you set the kids' table. There are only those who have been declared as sons with full rights. Amen. And that's you today. All right. Now, I want you to see yourself as God sees you. You are no longer slave, but a son. And if a son, then a heir through God. All right. You are not a slave. You are not worthless. Matter of fact, you are worth so much because your life has been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, you need to see yourself as God sees you. Because sometimes, and we all do this, don't we get down on ourselves sometimes? Oh, I can't believe I did that. Oh, I'm just worthless. I keep making the same mistakes. See yourself as God sees you. See yourself as God sees you. And that's hard to do because, I mean, I like to get onto myself. I make plenty of mistakes. Martha, I hope that was... We'll go from on from here. I don't know if I can recover from this one, but I will surely try.
You don't know when we're back there.
If you come early to coffee with the pastor, then you'll get to understand some of these inside jokes.
We love you.
We are seen. Not in bondage. Not under the law, but under the grace of God. You are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. Ever how you like that. You are a child of God. And you know what? You are an heir of Abraham. Man, that means that you have all the rights and all the privileges of being a child of the progenitor of our faith. Think about that. Abraham is pointed to, hey, he is the father of faith. And you are his children if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior by faith upon hearing the message of your salvation. We are the spiritually promised seed of Abraham. You are faith-filled children. Here's our old life. Don't look back. Remember, that's what this was supposed to be called. Formerly, when you did not know God, you were enslaved to those by nature who are not gods. Oh, the old way. Kind of spooky. What were they? They were ignorant. Think about that. They didn't know. And you know, that's the same thing. That's the same thing about people today who aren't Christians, who don't know Jesus. They're ignorant. They don't know what they don't know. We've talked about this on Wednesday night as we talk about how to minister to atheists and how to minister to people who have lack of faith in God. You know, they are spiritually blind. That's what Scripture tells us. And guess what? A blind person will just as easily fall into the Grand Canyon as it will trip over a small stone. So you know what? Satan has caused those who don't believe to fall into the largest pits possible. Might as well. It doesn't take any more effort. Because they are spiritually blind. They are ignorant. And then, well, by those who are not gods, small g there, kind of a little, well, we'll talk about the first way that this could have been taken. We learned when we studied about 1 Corinthians that when someone sacrifices to an idol, that they are actually sacrificing to a demon. What Scripture says. And so in looking at this, we're talking about that while they were ignorant and they were practicing their pagan religion and they were offering up sacrifice, that they themselves were actually sacrificing to demons. Somebody may feel a little uncomfortable with that. That's okay. It's what the Bible says. Never make an apology for what the Scripture clearly says. Now, something that's hard for me to take, but I looked this up with two Greek scholars, and they both agreed. And to get two scholars to agree on any one passage is kind of hard. Grammatically, the words that they use in this, it says, formerly you did not know God and were slave to those who by nature are not gods. Grammatically, that can be tied, or as the scholar said, it is tied to the Torah. Now, that's kind of hard. But when you think about what was happening at the Galatian church, you had people, well, even in Jesus' time there, you know, what did Jesus say was the greatest of all commandments? To love God and love your neighbor. What were some of the Jews thinking? They were thinking, well, you know, honor the Sabbath.
They were thinking, you know what? Keeping the rules. Doing this, not doing this. Make sure you're washing your hands. You see, many, many Jews at that time, not all, many Jews at that time, got the Sadducees? They didn't believe in the resurrection. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in demons. They just believed in keeping rules. There was no spiritual component to their relationship. The Torah was highly regarded. It should be because it's God's word. But their relationship was that they valued law keeping above loving God. Because many of them, and do you know people like that? Maybe even Christians who, they kind of like to keep the rules, but maybe they don't have a good relationship with God. Maybe there's some people out there who are quick to point out when, you're violating something. Oh, if you were a better Christian, you'd be doing this, or you would be doing that. How many of y'all remember the church lady from Saturday Night Live?
Oh.
He's not even old enough to know that. Thank goodness for YouTube. There are those people who elevated the Torah to a point where not God was the Father, but the Torah and keeping the Torah took the place of having a relationship with God. Ouch. Now, I think there are some Christians who have elevated God's Word, and I think God's Word is awesome. It is a light, and it illuminates our path. But, there are some people who have no relationship with God. They have just a bunch of rules and regulations. And they try to dump them on you. You see, the Bible, nor the Torah, was ever meant to be a god. But it was meant to be a guide.
Amen.
And so when we look at that, that was probably what Paul was talking about. Remember, he's talking to Greeks, he's talking to the Galatians and to some Jews. You have worshipped the Torah, but you haven't worshipped God. Ouch. Let's move on from there. So there was a change. But now you have come to know God, or rather to be known by Him. Oh, whew. Important doublet here. Know and known. We know God by the Spirit. It's not that we read the Bible and we memorize passages of it. You know God by believing in faith in Jesus Christ. And you come to experience who Jesus is. Now, I want you to read your Bible. I want you to learn all those things in there. But you know what? If you're not loving God, don't bother memorizing Scripture.
Right.
If you're not going to love Jesus, then please, don't read the Bible. But you know what? We have been called to be children. Obedient children. Children who are hungry for knowing more about the Lord. And we express our love. We express our love for the Father. We need to be known by God. We need to know God, excuse me. And the next one is we are known by God. And this is even more important. Because there are plenty of people who know about Jesus or know about God. There are plenty of atheists out there who know the Scripture. Have you ever heard of Bart Ehrman? He's an atheist, New Testament scholar. I don't know, that sounds like an oxymoron, doesn't it? He knows the Scripture. He knows it backwards and forward. But he does not know Jesus because he's accepted Him. And so he comes up with some pretty wild takes. And he is not known by God. He is not a child of God. Even though he knows the Bible probably better than I do. He's written books. But being known by God, it's not about studying sacred text. It's not about meditating. It's not about fasting and all those things I'm a great fan of. But it is receiving Jesus Christ by faith and letting Him begin to change your heart. So now that your outlook is different, God wants to send forth the Spirit of His Son into you, crying, Abba, Father, and let the Holy Spirit begin to make those changes. Paul would say to the Corinthians, if anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anybody loves God, he is known by God. God initiates that love for you. Oh, while you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. Express that love for you. Now,
Let's read a portion here. We're getting close to the end here, guys. Don't worry. Now you can turn back to the weak and worthless elementary principles of the world, whose slaves you were, who you want to be once more. You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid I may have labored over you in vain. Wow. He wants them. Is this legalism? Or is this paganism he's talking about? You know, the answer is yes, actually. You see, don't turn back. That's a two-edged sword there. Look, there were probably some of those Galatian Christians who, when the Jews said, hey, you got to be circumcised, you got to keep the law, you got to do this, got to do that, they're like, you know what, I didn't sign up for this. And they drifted away back into paganism. Then you would have those who would say, you know what, I want to be righteous, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to do all these Jewish things. I'm going to study the Torah. I'm going to get circumcised. I'm going to keep the law. I'm going to do all those things so that I can be righteous. Legalism. Neither one of those things makes you righteous in God's standing. Neither one of those things brings you closer to God. Neither one of those things declares you to be a son of God. You're looking at days, weeks, months. Oh, my goodness. Slide into legalism. You see, we've really only been told to observe two things as Christians. Not days, weeks, and months, calendar days. We've been told to observe baptism and the Lord's table. That's about it, isn't it? You can find something else there, that an outward expression that says that we're supposed to. You can make an argument for foot washing, mind you, but by and large, most people agree that what we are to observe as the church is baptism and communion. Now, the Jewish feasts are part of the law. And that's okay. I know Christian churches that celebrate Passover and Pentecost and all those other things, and those are good. Oh, I love celebrating those things. But you see what was going to happen? The Galatians were going to go and basically become, well, they were going to be grafted into Judaism. And they weren't called to do that. Remember, one branch of the family came to faith in Jesus Christ through observing the law. Even though they couldn't keep it, but it brought them to Jesus Christ, and the law was their schoolmaster. The other one were pagans. And they came to Jesus Christ by faith, by hearing the word. They both got in the same place at the same time through the same means, but took different roads to get there. One through Judaism, one through hearing the message alone. Paul is saying to them, why do you want to go back to looking at the calendar? That's what they did as pagans. You know, that's what how the Jews figured out when certain holy days were going to be. It's okay. But you know what? It doesn't make you righteous. If you want to celebrate Pentecost, come take me to have coffee with you. We'll celebrate together. We'll worship together. But it doesn't break us any closer to God. Just like there are plenty of things that have been added on to being a Christian. Ouch. Well, we don't smoke and chew or go with girls who do.
Amen.
Good Christians don't go see that type of movie. My grandfather, who was an Assemblies of God minister, could not go and see my uncle play football because in the 40s and 50s, going to sporting events was sinful. Man, we are. Matter of fact, the Cowboys are already playing, so I better hurry up here now. That's counting days, weeks, months. Be part of the family of God. You're not drawn any closer by the observance of anything else. Love God. Love Jesus. Now, Paul, we're going to just do this a little bit. This is kind of a teaser for next week. Some of you may want to avoid next week then. Here's Paul's heart's plea in here. Brothers, I entreat you, become as I am. For I also have become as you are. You did me no wrong. You know that it was because of bodily ailment that I preached the gospel to you at first. And through my condition was a trial to you. You did not scorn or despise me, but you received me as an angel of God, as Christ Jesus. What then has become of your blessedness? For I testify that if possible, you would have gouged out your eyes and given them to me. Oh, Paul has a father's heart for these people, and he's telling them what it is he's told them before, and his heart is breaking because they are thinking about going into Judaism or going back into paganism. And his heart is breaking. Here's his heartache. Have I then become the enemy by telling you the truth? You know what? Sometimes it takes the rod to correct you. That's what Paul's been adding here. Sometimes we know that there are other ways. And everybody that the Lord receives as a son, he punishes. And this is Paul's punishment to them. He is speaking harshly to them. Oh, and rather than just come and love Jesus. What's he talking about? Well, those Judaizers, those who were trying to convince the Gentile Christians to become more Jewish, they want to make much of you for no good purpose. They want to shut you out, exclude them from the table, that they make much of you. Kind of like mean girls. That's what they were. Oh, y'all know what mean girls are. Especially the girls. I was a gym coach. I know what mean girls are. I saw them all the time. Man, that's what these Judaizers were doing here. Oh, you need to observe the Torah. If you're not, you can't be out like us. Observance is not needed. You can't eat at the same table as we are because we're special. You go eat at the loser's table. There's no loser's table. Oh, if you were super holy like us, then you would be able to memorize all the scriptures from VBS. No, you'd be able to know all the scriptures of the Torah. Man, people who try to put you under a yoke of bondage, whether we're talking about the Galatians or we're talking about the Christians in Corinth, don't allow anybody to put something else on your neck. Jesus Christ loves you. He gave himself for you. And he wants you to continue as a child of God. It is always good to be made much of for a good purpose. And not only when I am present with you, my little children, whom I get in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. I wish that I could be present with you now. Change my tone, and if I'm perplexed about you. I don't want to be harsh. I want to love you like a father. And I want you to identify with the Messiah. No, she says Christ, not Christ Jesus. So what's he doing? He is actually bringing them in, bringing Jews and Gentiles in to being under the Messiah. That's the Jewish Messiah. Remember, we talked about this when we first started it. So our takeaway, don't go back to the old ways. Don't go back. Continue forward. Continue in your love for Jesus. Continue loving Jesus, knowing God, and being known by him. We have one table. One table for everyone. One table for Hispanics, and that same table for Anglos. One table for male, one table for female. Same table. We're all at one table. Amen. Now, your behavior, you need to show that you know God, and you need to show that you are known by God. Well, what do? You follow what the Bible says. You do what the Scripture tells you to. You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you. He's in you there. And you know God. And I want you to behave like you do. Can't tell you exactly what it is some of you need to do. Nor am I going to tell you right now what some of you need to stop doing. But you need to act and show that you are known, that you know God and you are known by him. And last thing, put aside anything that drags you backwards. Whether it's relationships or practices or anything else like that, put aside anything that wants to pull you back and don't look behind you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for that it is sharp and it changes who we are. Now, Lord, bless us as we go from here. Lord, that we may know you. And Lord, we may be known by you. And Lord, that changes the way that we interact with each other and with everybody in general. Now, Lord, bless my family and my congregation here today. Bless us and keep us. Cause us to prosper. May your face shine upon us. My family, I bless you now in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.